So I'm going to be dealing with overcoming evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Now it is, we have power and authority in Christ, but the Lord is interested in us living the Christian life. Hallelujah. Living as believers and putting on Christ to the degree that we will, if somebody sees us, they will see the character of God in us. But where there is still malice, you know, bickering and all kinds of things, the Lord does not see that as fruit. Something is wrong. Where there's deception, there is all kinds of manipulation, there are kinds of strange stuff. That's not the Christian life. Amen. That's not the life that Jesus gave us. Something is wrong with all of that. The things that lead to divorce in marriages and stuff like that did not come from the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says something that he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Hallelujah. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. So the practices that are evil, that the Bible considers evil, cannot come from someone who says that they know the Lord. The reason we talk about these things is not to make people sin conscious, but to make people aware of what isn't it. And to guard our hearts. The Bible said to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of our hearts are the issues of life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Because there is evil out there, and we have to shine as light in the midst of a perverse generation. God wants us to be the light. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. And what we know to be evil is that which the Bible calls evil. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. It says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Sometimes these things happen without us being aware that they happen. Let me give you an example where stuff like this happens. Like you're you're driving and somebody crosses you, and whilst you're trying to complain, sometimes the person lifts up the middle finger and all of that. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, you will do the same, or you will curse the person out. Maybe you drive by him, his windows are down, then you throw something back. You know, what has happened here is that you have become overcome with evil. The person threw a jab at you, you're now throwing back and operating in the same way that that person was operating. As Christians, that should not be where we should be. Maybe, you know, between a wife and the husband said something that was hurtful. Now, the wife replies in the same way, and then the house is on fire. Now, you're not supposed to reply the same way. And don't let your ego rise up. When your ego rises up or your pride rises up, you have become overcome of evil. As Christians, we should not be in that place. When that comes up, and if you happen to rise up in the flesh and react, you need to go back and apologize. Because understand that the Bible says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And the Bible tells us, as much as it lieth in you, live at peace with all men, knowing also that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We have bigger kettles of fish to fry. Glory be to God. We have things to do in this world than to be fighting among ourselves. You're not walking in Christ when you're doing that. Now, many years ago, a certain brother had an experience. Though he had more experience and had the basic qualification for the job to be a leader there, supervisor, and all of that, they were all managers. But somebody was brought in who was his boss. Now, the boss was not as, how do I put it, technically knowledgeable as this subordinate who was a Christian. The woman who was his boss was not a Christian. So she, this is a true story. So they were dealing in banking in the old days when, you know, everything was semi-automated system. So you still did some things manually. You signed the checks manually. You did all of those things, not like today, where you just put it in the system and then you use your hands and everything is, you know, on the keyboards and everything is okay. In those days, you physically sign checks. So she did not know. She just came in. She was a greenhorn, but she had a master's degree. This fellow had a bachelor's degree, but the job did not even require a bachelor's degree. But, you know, so he was basically qualified to do what he was doing. But she came in and she became his boss. Now, he was aware that she did not know anything about the technical part of banking. And she would put herself into trouble if she did something wrong there, you know, because she did not know what to look for on a check to make sure that the check was genuine. There are people who will be in that kind of position where they will undermine the boss because they know more about the technical part of the work. So if you get rid of her, you will take over the job. And the way it was that in earlier than that, because they were trying to streamline things, make it faster for people to cash out their checks and all of that, earlier than that, what used to happen was that the lower person will approve a transaction, then hand it to her for her to finally, you know, assent to it. So that means there's a chain of command. But now it was streamlined in such a way that it will come from the teller to the person that is supposed to have signing authority for that amount of money. That means that it didn't have to pass through this brother to get to her, in which case she can make her own mistake without him being involved. But he was aware of her weakness, the deficiency in her understanding of the technical part of the work. He knew in his heart that this woman, if she leaves, he will be the person next. So, in the course of time, he chose rather, after reading this scripture, that the best thing was to teach the lady what she should do. So he would do his work, then he would keep the items that were meant for her because somewhat those items would come through him and say, don't do anything about this. When I'm done with mine, I'm going to come show you what you're supposed to do, because usually those real large amounts were not so much. So he will sit with her and he will say to her, this and this are good. And these are the reasons why they are good. But these ones here are defective. And these are the reasons why they're defective. After that, after he began to teach her what to do and all of that, and the woman began to do her work, because of the way that she did it and there was no problems, she was further promoted. Now, I asked myself a question, why was it that this guy, he was put in this kind of position where even though it was time for him to be promoted, somebody was brought, because that was the key thing, somebody was brought in, and he was not offended. Because offense causes the belief. When you get into offense, you start losing. In churches, sometimes people get into a place where they get offended at things. Once you take in that offense, you will stop making spiritual progress. From the day you receive that offense, the enemy has stopped you. You will still be there. You could still be there. You could still be in the activities of the church, but spiritually, you have stopped working for God. The enemy is about to start using the person. Look at what they did to me. And sometimes the information we have is not good, is not enough to know that there was a deliberate action to offend you. Now, shortly after this, this lady got into a place where she could do and undo. The first person she did for was this believer. She got him promoted. She got him moved to, you know, things that were happening there. They put him into a good place. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time you do good, good comes to you. Every time you allow evil to overcome, you start walking in darkness. Now, what constitutes evil? When we are faced as believers, put yourself in that particular position, there are a few things going on in some people's minds. They say evil here could mean to have the temptation to amplify her mistakes to those higher up in the chain of command so they could see the shining star that is in you. You don't have to set her up. You just be quiet. She'll run off guards by herself. She has enough ignorance to put herself in trouble. Do you get what I'm saying? So you don't have to do anything. And she'll make a mistake, then you amplify it, and there'll be a problem. There's another temptation. You actually see her about to make a mistake, or you see people about to make a mistake, and you say nothing. You pretend it does not concern you. As people say sometimes, mind your own business. And while you're minding your business, that person makes a major error. You know, all of this benefits you. Oh, the Lord has made a way for me to come into. The Lord didn't make a way for you. You were walking evil. Do you know that all these things we're talking about are under the law? It says when you see your enemy's cattle about to go astray, you should get it and return it to him under the law. But we're working under a higher law, the law of love. And love is not a feeling. These things are key. They're key to power. They're key to you succeeding when others fail. They're key to you being ready when the master shows up and you have nothing that stops you. And when the enemy comes to attack, he will find nothing in you. There is the third one, which is the temptation to pray for her to make a mistake. That's you are praying for her to make a mistake. Say, Lord, remove this person from here and all of that, and make me the boss. I shall be the head and not the tail. So the system could do away with her then you can move up. That is evil. Number four. This is a temptation to set up this person. You're the one setting them up. But you're supposed to be a Christian. So you can set her up. As you make a mistake, they'll fire her. Then you become the boss. All these things are evil. If we do them, it means we have been overtaken by evil. Praise the Lord Jesus. Don't allow yourself, the Bible says that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Maybe as a landlord, you know, somewhere you're not handling the people that are living in your home well. You need to change. Or you're an employee for somebody. rather than seeking the person's good, maybe the person is a very rough employer, is not a nice person. It has nothing to do with your Christian life. You're supposed to overcome him and the things he's doing through the goodness of God that is in you. That's the fruit of our righteousness. The Bible talks about God increasing the fruit of our righteousness. You see your neighbor's kids about to go astray. I say, it's none of my business. I'm going to get involved. I don't know anything about it and all of that. No, what you can do to help, do it. We're supposed to do what God says, regardless of how we feel about it. Because your feelings may have been trained by the flesh all these years. Our feelings have been trained by the flesh. All the things we know come from the senses. We can see things around us. And from those things, we developed emotional ways of doing things. If somebody calls me an idiot, I get angry. When they call the person an idiot, they don't get angry because they're not wired that way. They just feel, oh, it's just a figure of speech just to say that I didn't get it right. So they're not offended. Another person says, if any man calls me an idiot, I'm going to punch him in the face. You trained yourself that way. So the flesh has trained the emotion of that person who either has not been born again and spent some time with the Lord. This is where the word of God renews our minds. So as long as that him or her are in that place, they're always going to act that same way. And the Bible calls such people carnal. They're affected by the things they see. Hallelujah. And God does not want us as believers to be in that place. So he says we should not avenge ourselves. Hallelujah. Yeah, sometimes there's the temptation to do these things against other people. And God says, don't do it. There are times when you want to retaliate for something, and God says, don't do it. The law says, love thy neighbor as thyself. That is less than what we were told. Yeah, with the world, we love ourselves. But among believers, Jesus said to love as I have loved you. Whatever that you're doing with people has to be done in the spirit of love. Now, love is not an emotional feeling so that you don't get carried away by it. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, in instructing the Roman church, he says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we be many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Of ministry, let us wait on our ministry. He that teacheth on teaching. He's talking about diligence in the work of God. Amen. And he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Praise God. This word actually means let it be without hypocrisy. It says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. God views love and unity among brethren highly. We're not supposed to be taking undue advantage of one another. That's not why we're here. That's not why there is love in the house of God. Love primarily, Jesus put the responsibility of loving, not on others towards you, but on you towards others. The Bible says, we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So if your attitude is towards loving the people of God, you will not be offended. And everybody's attitude is towards loving the brethren. You see that we love one another as he has commanded. Where we're seeking the best, the good of the other. Amen. Then it says, be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business. especially kingdom business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We are supposed to do the ministry of God. Bible says we should be imitators of God as dear children. So evil should not be found with us. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. It's a distributing to the necessity of saints, giving to hospitality. It's a bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So besides the fact that it is honest, do it in such a way that it will appear as it really is. Honest in the sight of God and in the sight of man. That is clean in the sight of God. You're not doing something that is contrary to what is clean and normal. What I mean by that is that normal as a believer, even in your home, glory be to God. The Bible says we should consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Be at peace with people.